Hey, fellow adventurers, Tyrone here. Just a reminder, if you can, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you're listening to this episode of Modus Critica. It really helps us get the word out. Thank you so much for your continued support and enjoy the episode.
Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. An epic victory over a strange mage and his counterparts at the abandoned lab in the Fade Arc made way for a large complex to explore and an interesting rod for Nevlin. After exploring the runes for some time with minimal shenanigans, the party found a secret room containing the diary written by Nevlin's mentor, Magister Kingston.
Play 5th edition D&D podcast. We are five scientists. Well, we're not really scientists, but we play some on TV, and we're looking to role play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those five scientists are...
Hi, I am Dr. Fluffy Bum. I am a brain scientist. And I'm played by Eric. I'm Eric. Hi. What's up?
And my name is Kyle, and I'll be playing Dr. Dario. Very different from Dr. Mario. I will give you just as many pills, and you will enjoy it and get better, presumably.
Oh my god. I hate this.
It's going to be hard to beat Dr. Dario.
Yeah. Hi. Hello. My name is Caitlin, and I play Dr. Tork, because Dr. Tortellini is my father. Actually, Tork's dad isn't really a doctor or a scientist either, but neither is Tork, so I guess it runs in the family?
Yeah!
Just go!
I'm Zach. I play Dr. Thrice Great.
No intrusionist.
Here to operate, corroborate, and, speculate. I hope you can accommodate.
You forgot about discombobulate. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm Tyrone, and I am your Dr. Dungeon Master, and I'm actually sick, so this is all really fitting.
No one is going to be able to cure you.
I'm actually quite sick, so I apologize in advance for my raspy, way down there vocals. Okay, so you guys are sitting inside the secret study of Magister Kingston, and Nevlin, you have found his journal. So last episode, you guys were read the first entry as Nevlin opened it up and read. You're sitting there chilling, and Nevlin is going to read through the whole thing. So,
12th of Hammer, 1457. We arrived today about midday, though it's hard to tell in this place. We've no contact with the outside world, but I suppose it's safer that way, especially considering the nature of our research. We've been given clear instructions in regards to the test sample and our function here, but I've been strong-armed into this position and I'm not feeling at ease about it. The shady Seraphim character and her obnoxious brute of a brother have led me to believe that I was right all along. They must indeed have an ulterior motive. We will continue as ordered, but let it be known, I was never given an option. I fear this will end in disaster. 14th of Alteriac, 1457. It's been just over a month now, with little contact from the Circle. The ley lines here are stronger than expected, though, which is good news, I suppose. I've been preparing my equations meticulously and should be ready for testing shortly. I will first begin by folding small amounts of energy from the weave. I will then transfer the raw energy through the ley lines that exist here in the Fade directly into the test subject. I'm interested to see how it reacts to casting thereafter. 16th of Ulturiac 1457. The first test was inconclusive but informative. The reaction in the test subject was wildly unstable, as I expected. The stone seemed to bend the fabric of space and time as I transferred the energy, but the ley line lashed out and the energy was lost. I fear that as learned as I am in the schools of magic, I may not be able to contain the reaction while casting. I must take extreme caution henceforth, as the reaction from the stone sliced through three of my glass beakers like hog's butter. 3rd of Tarsac, 1457. The test subject has been able to host the folded energy repeatedly, although it has remained wildly unstable. I've tried to wheel the energy into stabilization and have come close, although it remains extremely difficult to maintain concentration enough to begin casting. The ley line has consistently lashed out only seconds after energy transfer and continues to damage integral equipment here in the lab. My protege is set to come in the next 10 days. I will need to put in another order for supplies. 17th of Myrtle, 1457. The lab was destroyed. Again, it's a miracle I wasn't in the way of the lash out of the ley line. I could have been killed. I'm standing down as the repairs commence. It's becoming increasingly clear that only a master mage such as the Magus himself may have the sage wisdom and mental acuity to stabilize this level of magical energy. This type of power should only be wielded by the gods themselves. Mortals have no place in tampering with such elements of chaos and destruction. On another note, I have seen Leopold since my last entry. He has been promoted to Practicus. Strange, considering I thought him not fit at this time and expressed this with clear vigor to the council. I fear the darker forces at work within the circle may have swayed him to a lesser path. I must be extremely careful in my interactions from here on out. I only hope my second can discern the truth. May the gods give you clear guidance, Nevelin. 23rd of Kythorn, 1457. The tests have remained inconclusive with no viable way to stabilize or contain the power within that blasted aquaradium stone. I've been pressured to move the test schedule along, but the more energy I transfer in, the more power it unleashes when the stone destabilizes. This will not end well. 27th of Kythorn, 1457. It took days of meditation, but I was finally able to cast while energizing the stone. However, the results are still inconclusive. Interestingly enough, as the stone inevitably destabilized and the feline lashed out, a small beaker vanished out of thin air. Though this may have been seen as a step forward, I haven't been able to achieve this since. Good news, though. It seems the imbeciles who built this place have forgotten to mention the secret room next to the ritual chamber. I'm unsure of its intended use, but it makes for a quiet study and out of the eyes of those who pass through here. Let's hope it stays that way. 7th of Elasis, 1457. Meditation has become a routine practice of these experiments. One must be of sound mind to harness the sheer power of this stone, and absolute concentration is crucial. I have come closer with each experiment of late, though it has been taxing on my body and mind. If Seraphim is truly planning to use this power to free herself from the prison of Shadowfell, she will do so at a price, and I fear what that means for Faerûn and its surrounding plains. 19th of Elasis, 1457. I was able to successfully wrap myself in the weave before the stone destabilized. The weave seems to protect everything in its immediate vicinity while the lash from the ley line cuts everything around it. The lab has been destroyed again as a result, and I've received another letter from Seraphim stating her disappointment, but I have made much progress in the last 10 days. 20th of Elasis, 1457. I have managed to successfully maintain casting while harnessing the power of the stone. This will be my last entry, as I fear I may end up elsewhere after casting in the next trial. If anyone is to find this journal, please know that I am sorry for what may be done with this power, for the effects it may have on the worlds that surround us. To Nevelin Thricegreat, continue on your path. I know you'll make an educated decision and therefore will not bend to the will of the corruption of the Circle. Take with you these drawings. They may be your only hope to undo what is to come. I've word that Seraphim is coming with news of my success. I will focus my will on the Isle of Dread while I cast. I know an old crone there that will grant me safe harbor. Gods hope you're the only one who finds this study. Godspeed, Nevelin.
Fuck.
Okay.
Thus concludes the Journal of Magister Kingston, Nevelin's mentor. So yeah, after that's all read, we can start fucking playing.
This Kingston guy is like dude number one that we need to go and see about all this to help us right this wrong. Yeah, hopefully, if he's still alive.
Yeah, for sure.
It's really important.
Well, when we finish up here, maybe we should be heading towards Isle of Dread.
Well,
yeah.
To find Kingston and put him in a safe place, keep him in a safe place.
Well, if he's over there, there's likely a shard over there as well.
This is true.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense.
Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Silence persists as you stand in the desolate ruins of the laboratory. Journal and experimental trial documents in hand, you can breathe a little lighter knowing there may be a chance to end the madness that envelops the now-named Shadow Fae. As you review Kingston's notes and the plans for the fortress, you hear the sound of echoing footsteps accompanied by the thwap of a walking staff.
Oh no. Shit. Hide.
I'm a little nervous.
So at this point, you hear this sound. You've got, 5 seconds or whatever. And as the walking cane and the footsteps get louder, you see Shaman Urka arrives into the ritual chamber and stands before you guys. And he says,
"Never in my life have I seen such alchemy. This is beyond anything I've read in texts, nor did I suppose there was even an entrance to this ruin. How was it that you found your way in?"
The wall was wide open. That's obviously how you found it, right?
Yeah, it wasn't very hard.
We just walked right in. There was no... It was all good.
Uh-huh.
You saw the bodies, right? We killed our way through.
This entrance was already in the wall just now.
The one
that I just walked through.
Oh, yeah, we didn't put that
there. Uh-huh.
That's very interesting. We must also discuss my intentions in helping you escape. I do not believe that what Umra did was right, nor do I believe he will go unpunished by Gromsh. I had not foreseen his plans, but Gromsh cannot control, only persuade. It is by that premise that your friend met his unfortunate demise. But the plans laid before us by the gods should never be ignored. The balance of the Feywild has been offset.
And
thus, it must be returned to its normal state. To achieve this, I believe the Formorians must be stopped, lest they rise to such an unstoppable power. I believe this also to be mutually beneficial, as the Formorians now hold that which you desire, no?
Yes,
well,
they do.
Well, those plans that you hold, the ones from Umra's hut, they offer you only the structural details of the fortress. That is in Magteria. The resistance in Vorth Thamil has prudent information on the inner workings of the fortress and its defenses.
Where are they at again?
Vorth
Thamil.
And you said in inner orkings, is that a fun way of saying you got the orc resistance there? Inner orkings?
You are a racist piece of shit.
No, you just have a very thick accent. I'm sorry.
He's just hard of hearing.
Look, if you were to help me and Grumsh in destabilizing the Formorian presence in the Feydark, I could reward you with Gnegfrock's gold reserves, as well as an opportunity to rectify certain inequities, so to speak, if you catch my meaning.
Do we get to kill Umra?
I did mean Umra, yes.
I'm in.
It is a good thing that you have mentioned this. Regardless of your offering, we were going to kill him. This all very nicely aligns with you, but how can we even trust you?
Yeah.
Our friend is dead.
Yeah.
It is fresh.
You can trust the will of Grumsh, for I do not disobey.
Can we? I don't really know.
Can I make a religion check?
Yes.
Okay.
Wait, what are you rolling for? What are you trying to find out?
I'm rolling for like a rebuttal on like sort of Grumsh's track record, as a deity.
Okay,
not all that good. Does not align with us.
What's your what's your check? What do you got there?
17.
Yeah, okay, so you definitely know, being a servant of Mercule, you have worked with many followers of Grumsh in your time, or seen and familiarized yourself with the religious teachings of Grumsh and the Orc ways, and you know that Grumsh, although the deity of war and destruction, he is also, he's very precise. It's just war for him. He wants war. But you know that the religious followers of Grumsh take that shit very seriously, and he does not seem to falter in his intentions. The shaman does not seem to falter in his intentions.
Look, and as such, Queen Koname rules for the mill with an ignorant mind, and as such, rules with such a vulnerability. She enslaves the weak and the poor, and rules the rest with sheer terror. If you dispose of or displace Queen Koname, it will send Thrumbolg into panicked uproar, thus destabilizing his empire. Then, all that's left would be to thwart the efforts of Thrumbolg himself. This is the path of Grumsh. Umra has been planning to attack and reclaim the fortress for months, and would be easily persuaded to do so at my behest, creating a perfect opportunity for you to make a clean entrance into the fortress.
Oh.
And you say there's some resistance boys in Vorthmill who are holding on to some further plans for this castle.
Yeah, I did say that. The leader of the resistance is a fierce woman. Though it has been told, she has been known to be fair and may listen to reason.
Princess Leia?
No.
Oh, okay.
What do they call
her? She is a half-breed like your former counterpart. Her name is Skarsnaga Mulva Eager.
Skarsnaga.
But she is known to the resistance as Scar.
Scar. All right.
That's a pretty cool nickname.
Yeah, it's pretty badass, actually.
Ska.
Wonder why she's called that. Oh, yeah, because it's her name.
She could have a very prominent scar on her face.
Yeah, it made me think of a classic movie I saw when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Classic
scar down the eye there.
Look, guys, we don't have a lot of allies down here. And no. We ain't exactly knights in shining armor types, so...
Alternatively... If you wish to sneak into the fortress of your own volition, I wish you well on your journey, and may Grumsh bring your enemies much suffering.
Fair.
Oh, yeah, boy.
Cool. I was having a little talk with my pals here, but...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go talk alone for just a moment.
Can you, go away? Oh, we'll go away.
He walks very, like, you see him walking away. He's, like, limping with his walking cane. He walks down.
Aww. He's injured. We have to trust him.
You don't got to walk too far.
Okay, come on, guys. Let's huddle for just a moment here. What he is saying and what he's offering, that definitely helps us. But I think we want something more, right? Do we want a chance to kill Umra? Do we want that? I want that.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm just going to come out and say it.
Oh,
I mean,
well, absolutely, yeah.
Even I am wishing for this.
I'm always keen for a murder, but especially this one.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I think he's a good bet, you know? We're going up against a whole empire of these Formorian bastards, so if we need to do a little bit of extra wet work to destabilize this whole network, I think we'll be a lot safer. So maybe this little Queen Kanme resistance voyage will help us out in the long run.
Okay, but then should we ask for an opportunity to get Umra afterwards? Sort of like a cherry topper for our efforts.
I think he did mention that was on the table.
That was on the table?
The cherry's on the table.
Much as I think I'd like to march in there anytime soon, he is a big boy with lots of friends, and maybe there's a better opportunity to bring some more hard-hitting motherfuckers with us.
Yes.
Do we know a lot of other hard-hitting motherfuckers?
Well, I think we're getting to know a few as we go along, so let's just keep our options open as far as potential allies go down here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, this is good. This is good.
Yeah, start a collection of motherfuckers.
Yeah,
yeah, we gotta have a good collection of motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah, a motherfucking list.
As much as I like sort of this path that is opened up in front of us for Gromsh, I mean, not feeling it, would like to also thwart those plans as well. It's nothing personal, but it's kind of personal. But yes. Let's just keep options open and listening, and we'll agree for now for this guy.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds like a pretty good plan, guys.
Okay. Good. So we're going to triple or double cross him or something like that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Good. Sounds great.
Yeah.
We'll burn that bridge when we get there.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. We love burning bridges. We're doing great, guys. We're definitely, like,
we're on our way up.
You know, we don't have to burn the bridge. We could just dismantle it so we can use the pieces.
So that no one else can cross. Got it.
Reclamation. Yeah.
Dig a bridge, build a wall.
Exactly. That's right. Bridge, build a wall.
Fuck love those four Marian bastards.
You come back.
Guy, you can limp back now.
Yeah, he hobbles back with his walking staff, and he comes back in, and he's like,
"Have you reached some agreement?"
Yeah, we have.
Yes.
Oh, you want to know what it is?
We're in agreeance.
Mm-hmm.
Our paths align.
The agreement is our agreeance.
Good news. I will offer you 2,000 gold pieces for this task.
What about 3?
I don't have 3. This is our prudent reserve. If we do not have this,
at least your heart's in the right place there, Tork.
We are not set up for. We have no way to come
you're
back.
You're broke. Okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I think that 500 think each is a pretty good.
Yeah, I was just
testing
the water.
Just as you guys are talking, out of nowhere, literally nowhere, Leowind is standing in the room.
Hello.
You
motherfucker.
And just wait. I have to listen to his voice.
I am Leowind of Clan Grinnith. These are my brothers in arm of the same name.
Okay, it's just that guy. Okay, all right.
It's just you.
Yeah, it's just my sexy voice. And it's going to even be more raspy. It's great. Okay, so Leowind and his rogues, a couple of his rogues, appear from the shadows. And
those
he
fuckers.
Says,
the orc shaman is right. The Formorian Empire must be stopped at all costs. We can only surmise what Thrumbolg's plans for the surface are. Oh, hey guys, sorry. Sorry for... we were here. Anyway.
Are you guys in cahoots?
Yeah, those are looking.
No, I just watch from afar. I'm always watching from the shadows.
He's always watching from the shadows.
We've seen regiments of Thrumbolg's troops headed for the river, likely making way for the Goblin Kingdom of Nactur. King Thrumbolg's allegiance with the Great Gark could be fatal to any peace that still exists in the Feywild. I've ordered some of my men to intercept their parties with caution, but their numbers are great and we are few. If intervention is not possible, they will only follow to gain eyes on the status of Nactur. We will assist in any way we can when the time comes. I'm sure our queen would agree. As for safe passage into Forth the Mill, I can guide you there, but we'll retreat into the shadows of the city until you are finished.
And Spud looks up at you guys and he's like,
oh, yeah. Bad. Guys, this is a lot to take in, you know? I'm thinking with everything that guy said about the ley lines and stuff, I might be able to get some pretty decent reception in these ruins. I might be able to contact the queen directly with my spores. I gotta just take a few minutes and go, like...
Your psychic spores.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so I'm gonna go try and...
spores at the queen.
I just need to go sit down for a few minutes and go try and see if I can talk to the queen. Yeah, you guys cool with that?
You gotta do what you gotta do there, Spud.
And so Spud walks off into the secret room, and he sits down and starts meditating. So you guys are deciding now, as a party, that you want to head to Forth the Mill. Yeah?
Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
All right, well then, after 10 minutes or so, Spud comes back, and he's like,
well, guys, it was a bit spotty, but I moved around the room until I had, four spores, and I got through to the queen, and I told her what I could. I told her it was a lot for me to take in, but she has given blessings to whatever needs to be done to retrieve the stone, and if possible, prevent the Fomorians and the goblins from attacking the surface. So I'm game, and Charlotte is game, and you know what? These two sick babies are too.
And he like shings both of his swords out of their sheaths.
I thought he was going to show us his sweet muscles, but I'll take that.
It's like, yeah. I don't need to see your mycelium there.
I'm going to teach you some more cool moves than that, okay, buddy? Good try, though.
Okay.
And he, like, slowly, like, ashamedly puts his fucking swords back in his sheath. And then just kind of, like, stands back in the corner out of the way like a good NPC.
I'm not going to do anything. That's what I'm going to do.
How's everybody's health?
Well, we didn't have a long rest, right?
No, not yet.
We haven't done that.
No, we were battling.
Although, I'm medium.
You guys had one before you came here.
Yeah, like, I'm not
horrible.
Yeah,
you're still doing not good, right?
Yeah, I definitely have, like, a whole bunch of my spells still.
Oh. What did I do that was different from everybody?
You guys actually seriously kicked ass in that battle.
Because I still have a good amount of HP.
And like Goldbloom points. Was there and shit. And, like, you guys didn't get fucked with very much. I thought that you guys were going to get way thwarted by that, but you actually, like...
cleaned up.
And we haven't leveled up either,
no,
right?
No, not yet. In
okay, good. Because we're still level 5?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Okay.
I think this is a convenient place to have rest and then head out with our friend here.
Well, I feel like, Urka, you can just probably Urk off now and, like...
I will keep that one in mind for next time that I want to make fun.
He says,
I will send word to the resistance in regards to your progress and have them report back to me so we can align our ambush, our siege.
We'll look for Skars Naga.
And you get some rest and take care of that cold.
Yes, thank you. I got my fantasy Kleenex here. Thank you.
Yeah, pick up some more at the store on your way out, because, oh man, you're so snotty.
He does a big, fucking huge farmer spit right on the floor, and then walks out of the room.
Nice.
Classic Urka.
So we're heading to Vorthamil.
Well, if you permit us the luxury of a short rest to freshen ourselves up, maybe a long rest to freshen ourselves up, I think we could be off as soon as possible.
It's up to you, however long you need.
I lay down on the floor and I begin sleeping for a full 8 hours.
I would go to Leowind and ask a couple questions.
Yep, he's standing over and he sees you approach and he's like,
Dario, was it?
Yes, Dario Sadolfo, cleric of Mercule, and currently concerned about our friend there, Ukra. You came in almost immediately after him. You heard his proposition and sort of what that entailed.
Absolutely.
Correct? What are your thoughts about how this could change?
Honestly, I think it's fucking wild, man.
That's fair. What is even more wild, though, is I'm thinking that we need to figure out where Umra is, for which Ukra has already given us, you know, the go-ahead to kill. But I also want to kill the shaman.
Forgot to mention, I'm really sorry to hear about your companion.
Dario takes kind of a sharp intake of breath as he's like...
It was shocking. I still can't believe that he's not here with us, and that's perhaps why I'm expressing myself in a very destructive way. I want to see revenge. I want revenge. And I need you to help me with that.
Fuck yeah, know. Revenge, Dario.
revenge.
We're all for it.
Vengeance. You know, sweet, sweet revenge. It's...
Sorry, I'm awake now.
There is a much larger
Stakes at hand. Yes. No.
The stakes. The stakes are huge, and I believe that his plan is one of straight intentions. It is to destabilize, dismantle, and execute. Nobody wants Thrumble in charge. Nobody wants Kaname in charge. The people of Worth the Mill are sick. They are starved. It's disgusting. And their empire, the do you know how fast Formorians can breed? It's insane.
I was not aware.
It's also disgusting. They fuck like animals.
Oh, no.
Probably like bunnies.
Bunnies, yeah.
Okay, Cornelius, this is good. What I'm looking for, Leowind, is maybe there's a way that we can work together a little bit more to sort of get the best of all worlds. Maybe we won't. Maybe we will just have to settle for Umra. But Ukra, I don't know, I think about the power vacuum of what is to come after Vor Famil falls.
Yeah, I mean, that's the will of what, Grumsh?
No, not you too.
No, I'm just saying that's what he would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, their numbers are so few. I mean, they lived in peace before the Formorians came along. They were hired to help rebuild the fortress. And I don't think that they're a threat, but that's just me. I mean, if they grew, I guess, in numbers and strength. But they're contending with the Resistance. The Resistance is more numbers than Yunagthrog.
Mm. Let me get back to you about this, Leowind, but yes, for now my friends are resting and, a moment of contemplation about this. I'll get that to you.
You might have to roll for it next time, though.
That's completely fair, Leowind. Can I just call you Leo? Oh, okay.
What about Wind?
Good night.
All right, you guys take a long rest.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Then you get up in the morning or whenever it is, 1 o'clock, 8 hours from now. Leowind is there just kind of chuckling with his rogues over in the corner. They're just chatting, sharing old stories or whatever. And they stand once they see you all kind of getting ready to go. And he's like,
are you all ready?
Yeah.
I don't know. Are you all ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
Okay, well, we're totally ready too.
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
We've been waiting for you.
All right, let's do this.
Leowind, hurry up, man.
And then if you guys exit the ruins, I think you guys begin heading northeast-ish.
It's all very confusing down here.
Yeah.
As you make your way from the ruin of the laboratory, you struggle to make heads or tail of direction as a strange fog passes through.
Oh, no.
If it weren't for the seasoned rogues of Clan Greneth, all may have been lost. As you proceed through the rough, cavernous terrain, you approach what looks to be a path.
Can I get you guys to roll me a survival check, please?
Hell yeah. First roll of the game.
Oh my god, you guys, I told you. Woo-hoo! I rolled a nat 1.
Don't worry, I got you back with a 23.
Yeah, Torque, you're not paying attention at all. You actually keep walking. Everyone stops and you keep walking.
Torque.
Dario rolled an 8.
Yeah, Dario, you don't see much.
Cornelius with a 23.
Nevelyn got a dirty
Nevelyn and Cornelius, you guys both see and notice quite easily that this path is well-traveled and recently used. And
as Leowind gets down on hands and knees, he places his ear to the ground. He immediately jumps to his feet and draws his sword as you then hear marching, drawing near over a hill to the east. A small regiment of Fomorians traveling with goblins in the lead notice you immediately and draw their weapons.
Then I need you all motherfuckers to roll initiative.
Oh!
Oh, no. Oh,
come on.
Oh, no.
It's going to be another battle episode.
Man.
Natural 20.
We're going to need to...
Oh, me too. Nat 20.
Oh, what's your dex?
My dex is 1. What's yours?
It's 1.
Do you want to go first?
I don't mind going first if you don't want to.
Okay. You be my guest.
Okay.
I got the 4.
Bud got a dirt 20.
Dirt twant.
That's a 9 for
So Netflix. As you guys found this path, you were beginning to walk down the hill, which led toward a small river, and the goblins and Formorians are on the other side of said river on a path that also leads down. As this path does roll right through the river is only like 8 inches deep.
Oh,
okay.
Hardly
and it's
a
just
river.
Water?
Yep, and it's just water. It's not a big river. At the point where the path crosses, like you could bring like a horse-drawn cart through it if you needed to at this point. It's not even difficult terrain.
Go.
Okay, so first up is Cornelius Fluffybum.
Okay. So I'm just going to dash because they're fucking far away.
Yeah, they're like 100 feet away or 100 feet
Yeah, so
away.
I'm just going to use my movement and action to dash. And that really is my turn.
Okay. All right, then next up we have Torque.
Okay, well, Torque sees Cornelius just give her across this little body of water, so he's just going to follow suit, and he's also going to use his action and his movement to dash ahead as well.
All right, so Torque, you run across the river and all the way up just past Cornelius to the north. Then it's going to be Spud's turn, and Spud is, lo and behold, going to do the same thing. He is going to dash his full 50 feet. He just makes it to the other side of the river, and then it's going to be the first goblin's turn. You see the goblin reach for a javelin as he runs forward towards you, Cornelius, and Torque.
And bring it the fuck on.
Yeah, bring it, motherfucker. I just learned that word, and I'm going to use it a lot now.
You've been using it real good.
Yeah.
Well, our friend died, and I'm different now.
That's a
motherfucker.
I'm going to give vocabulary talk.
Don't let my bad habits rub off on you.
He's going to chuck a motherfucker. It's a 9 plus 4 to hit for 13.
No.
As it flies by you and sticks into the ground.
How embarrassing.
And that's going to be his go. Next is going to be goblin number 3 is going to do the same thing.
Goblin number 3 makes me think of Mambo number 5 for some reason. like not similar in any way.
A little bit of goblin.
A little bit of gurglog.
A little bit of gurglog.
In my life. A little bit of schnee-slob.
Okay, he's going to throw a javelin at you, Cornelius.
Yeah, well,
that's
going
to be a 14 plus 4 to hit.
That definitely, 18. Yeah, that hits.
All right,
it's
take,
the trumpet.
You're take 1d6 piercing damage. That's max damage. You're going to take 6 piercing damage as that javelin sticks through your leg.
Okay.
It's in the bone.
Then you see one of the Fomorian warriors start to run forward.
The last Fomorian warrior.
It runs directly up to you, Cornelius. He uses a dash action. And then it's going to be Leowyn's turn. And Leowyn is going to make his way almost across the river. And he is going to fire his crossbow at the Fomorian that has approached you, Cornelius.
Okay, that's fucking awesome.
That's going to be 18 plus 6 for a definite hit. It's going to take 1d8 plus 3 damage. That's 6. It's going to take 9 damage. The second Fomorian warrior shoots his crossbow bolt and immediately sticks into the shoulder. Another one of the goblins runs forward. This one just runs directly to you, Tor.
Great. What do you got for me, motherfucker?
Well, it doesn't, doesn't do anything.
Can't even say that. Seriously.
The last Fomorian warrior runs down in beside his goblin cohort, and then it's going to be Nevlin Thracegrate.
This is going to be the motherfucker episode for sure.
Yeah.
Come and get some melon, farmer.
Nevlin is just going to move sort of to the bank of this shallow river, and it's going to stay there and cast Mage Armor on himself and wait it out.
You do just that, and then it's going to be the last of the goblins. He's going to run down in front of his buddy, and he's going to fire a javelin at you, Torque.
Awesome.
And that's another miss. And then it's going to be the Fomorian captain's turn. He moves down his full movement, plus he'll use his action to dash. And then it's going to be, last but not least, or maybe
the
least,
last
Dario
Fomorian
Sidolfo.
Oh.
Dr. Dario. Dario does his own music score.
So I was going to make a dash. So I dash out and around. Motherfucking that mushroom bastard. Spud. I forget his name. And I get to about here, I think. And that's where I stop.
So you cross the river from the south and run directly into all of the kerfuffle that's happening about 20 feet up from the riverbank to the north.
Yes.
And that's your turn? All right.
Yes,
then it's
going to
be top of the round, Cornelius.
All right, I'm going to cast Entangle right in the middle of the three goblins and the Fomorian Captain Shithead. Oh, sorry, motherfucker. My bad.
Will
and that's what I'm going to do. Just to show you, Tyrone, I'm going to cast it right there. So it'll get all four of them. So they all need to roll a strength saving throw, and that's going to be a DC 15. And if they fail, they are restrained. They pass. You know how it works.
Yeah, okay.
5e. Yes. Okay.
First goblin passes.
What a fucker.
Second goblin fails.
Yeah.
Third goblin critical fails.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the captain passes the flying colors. Got a 21.
Motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean...
So, sweet, two of them are restrained. The other two are just in difficult terrain.
Nice.
And then I'm going to disengage from this Formorian warrior. And then I'm going to use the rest of my movement to kind of get over in between Dario and Spud.
Stand close to the water. All right, yeah, and as you cast that spell before you move, you just see all these vines and branches just shoot out from the ground below and kind of engulf this entire area in foliage and thick branches and vines. And two of those guys are totally fucking stuck. Is that going to be your turn? All right, then it's going to be Torque.
You know what to do, Torque.
Yeah, murder those motherfuckers.
Yes. This is our most swearzy episode.
Yeah, this might have to have like a higher rating. Yeah.
Raid the dark.
So Torque is pretty surrounded. He is surrounded by
two Fomorians
and a goblin. Yep. Oh, that sounds like some sort of cute like TV show, like Three Men and a Baby, but not at all.
Two and a half men,
yeah. Half goblins.
Yeah, but not at all.
After
like
we're done,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? There's a Fomorian that's directly beside Torque to his right, so I think he's going to go for that one. He's going to pull out Gordon Matthew Thomas Sumner, his Moontouch sword, and he's going to attempt to attack that Formorian.
Go ahead and roll the hit.
Yeah, thank you. I will. That is a 24.
That's a hit. Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. I'd be worried if it wasn't. And that's going to be 8 damage. Okay. Torque's going to use his extra attack as well, and I'm just going to stick to the same Formorian. Okay. Not so good. That's a 13.
That's not going to hit.
Okay, we're going to use a bonus action to use some turtle claws, please.
Go for it.
Same ugly guy. Oh, okay. That's an 11.
That's not going to hit either.
I feel like Torque is just going to stay there. I don't think he's going to disengage. Okay. He's just going to continue to be surrounded.
All right. Then that's going to be your turn.
Okay,
then it's going to be Spud's turn, and he draws his sword and lifts it into the air, and you see this bright white light surround his sword. It's like super intense. He casts Searing Smite on his sword, and he is going to attack with his sword on the Fomorian, and that is going to be 25, which is to hit, and that's going to do an extra d6 damage on top of his 1d6 plus 4. So that does 14 damage to the Fomorian standing beside you as he slashes into him. And then he's going to come at him with this extra attack. Slice again, 22, which is a hit, and he'll take another 1d6 plus 4 damage. That's going to be 7 damage to the same Fomorian as he slashes in again. And that's going to be his turn. And then it's going to be the first goblin's turn. He is currently restrained, right, Eric? So...
he can roll to
DC
get out
15,
of it.
Right?
Yeah.
Failure. So that's his turn. Then
nice.
We're going to go to the next goblin. He's also restrained. Failure. So that's his turn. And then it's going to be the second Fomorian warrior's turn, who's going to slash out at you, Torque, in retaliation.
Cool.
He actually gets a multi-attack. So he's going to hit you once, I think 18 plus 5 to hit.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
he's
going
to hit you with his great axe.
Great.
Yeah. Holy fuck, max damage. So you're going to take 15 damage on that hit.
As he just
plows into you with his great axe. Goes to hit again, and that is a miss for 14.
Yeah, it's super
okay,
miss.
And that's going to be his turn. Then it goes over to Leowind, and Leowind moves again closer and shoots the Fomorian warrior to your left with his crossbow. For 21, that's just a hit. And he's going to take 1d8 plus 3 damage. Max damage. So nice. 11 damage to that same Fomorian warrior. He's not looking so hot now as this bolt pierces his arm. It's the next goblin's turn, and it's the one right in front of you, Torque. As it looks at you in the eyes, it pulls out its scimitar, and it's going to multi-attack you as well. So first one's an 18 plus 4 for 22 to hit. So that's going to be 1d6 plus 2. So you're going to take 6 slashing damage as he slices across your chest. The second one is a miss as he tries to slice across your chest the other way. And that's going to be his turn. Then it's going to be the other Fomorian warrior's turn. The one right beside you, Torque, it's going to move down and it's going to surround you proper. As it moves down into place, it gets advantage to multi-attack with its great axe. That's going to be a 19 to hit.
Yeah. Right,
so you're going to take another 1d12 damage. So you're going to take 5 damage on that one.
Cool.
And the second one is a miss as he tries to swing, but you manage to just dodge out of the way. Then it's going to be Nevlin Thrysgrate's turn.
Cool. So Nevlin's, he's a good 60 feet away from everybody kind of engaging in this combat still. And just looking in front of him, he's got this sort of troop of goblins is still heading down the hill to meet up with the Fomorians who are surrounding Torque right now. So Nevlin's kind of looking around and he lets out a sigh and he just says to himself, God damn it, I'm really getting tired of these motherfuckers. And he points his finger up the hill and he's like, yeah, it's about time we get rid of you. Pulls his other hand back. What Nevlin's essentially doing is a finger bow, because I don't think that we have finger guns at this point in fantasy history. So he makes a little finger bow, and he cocks his thumb down as a 20-foot radius fireball appears in the middle of these goblins.
Okay.
Coming down the hill.
Yeah!
Awesome!
Burn them!
So yeah, Nevlin's dropping this fireball right in between the last two goblins, which should be able to hit 3 goblins and this commander.
It hits another goblin down below as well.
Oh yeah, 4 goblins.
Yeah, all 4 goblins. Excellent. And the captain of the Fomorians. Why don't you read us a description, Zach?
I can read you the description. A bright streak. Sorry, pardon me. A bright streak flashes from your pointing finger to a point you choose within range, and then blossoms with a low roar into an explosion of flame. Each creature in a 20-foot radius sphere centered on that point must make a dexterity saving throw. A target takes 8d6 fire damage on a failed save, or half as much damage on a successful one.
All right.
Yada, yada, yada. So it's, I believe, a DC 16 save for half damage.
All right, so I'll go the goblins first. So the first one actually passes with a 16. Second one, failure. Third one, failure.
Nice.
Fourth one, failure. And the Fomorian captain, failure.
Yes!
Nice!
Holy fuck.
So,
I have 8 dice in my hand.
Go ahead and roll that sweet
can
damage.
I mumbo number 5 it now? The trumpet!
Mambo number 5 starts playing as this fireball incinerates them. Thank you, Lou Bega!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
33 fire damage.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so
you're all fucking burned, so come on, let's ride, dude.
So yeah, as this ball of fire just like fucking obliterates this area, 3 of the goblins die. Just straight up, they're just incinerated completely. And other one is very badly burned. Wound smells like almonds. And the Fomorian captain is extremely fucking blasted by this. But he just like shakes his head, kind of shakes it off, and looks at his tarnished armor and just like wipes his breastplate and then like gets back into his attack stance. 3 kills ain't bad.
I would say there'll be more.
And that's gonna be your turn?
Yeah, that's
okay.
I ain't going anywhere.
So then it's
gonna
be the Fomorian captain's turn, and he moves in towards you, Torque. And he's going to attack you with his great club.
Oh my god. All right, bring it on.
That's going to be a 19.
Yeah.
Right. You're not going to like this.
Yeah, I think I might not be standing for very much longer.
You're
going to
take 3d8.
I'm getting
plus 6 damage.
I'm unconscious.
So that's 22 damage.
You got me. Your man Torque is horizontal.
So you guys watch as Torque fucking drops to the ground.
Gracefully.
when we get out of all this, we gotta start an NDE support group.
I think so.
It's very stressful.
And that's gonna be his turn. Then it's gonna be Dario Sadolfo.
All right, Dario Sadolfo sees his friend Dork Dordolini fall to the ground under the extreme, brutal weight of this captain's axe?
No, great club.
Great club. Smashed. Absolute decimation to her brittle shell. As I go, no, not today. As I reach for my Amulet of Mercule and I throw my hand out and give maximum healing at a level 3 cure wounds to Torque. And as you guys know, that circle of mortality that I get as a grave cleric. When you normally roll one or more dice to restore hit points with the spell to a creature at 0 hit points, you instead use the highest number possible of each die. Nice.
Whoa.
So that's going to be 8, 8, and 8, which is 24 plus...
Whoa, Dario must really
plus
like
plus 3
Torque.
For each 9.
That's nice.
So that's going to be 34 hit points.
Whoa, that's like 4 points shy Holy of shit. Max. That's like...
Bring you right back.
Wow, Torque is stoked. He wakes up and he's surrounded by bad guys, but he is stoked.
I'd be like, quickly, Torque, get out of there or they're going to smash you again.
Yeah, I might have to run away a little bit. Thanks, Dario.
Yep.
And that'll be my
okay.
turn.
And it's going to be top of the round, Cornelius Fluffy Bum.
All right, so Cornelius is going to cast, it's going to end the Entangle spell, I think, but it's going to cast Scorching Ray and throw all 3 Scorching Rays at the captain. Okay. So I will roll 3d20 for the attacks. Oh, well, that was just horseshit, a 2, 4, and a 6. So 9, 13, 15. Oh, well, that's fucking cool.
Motherfucker.
That's gonna be 7 fire damage, and I'm not happy with
that.
All right,
you shoot your scorching rays, and 2 of them just rip past on either side of his ears. He doesn't flinch, but the 3rd one just hits him directly in the chest with 7 fire damage. Is that gonna be your turn then?
Yeah, that's all I can really do. All right,
then
it's gonna be
Torque's turn then.
Oh boy. Okay, one of the Fremorians is now flanked by him and Spud. So I think Torque rights himself, and he's gonna take a swing at the Fremorian to his left, who is in between him and Spud,
yep.
and see if he can't do some damage before he gets the hell out of there.
All right, roll to hit at advantage.
Good thing I have advantage. That's a dirt twant.
Yep, that's definitely a hit. That's a dirt hit.
Get them, Torque.
That's not what we say around here. It's not the thing we say.
You're going down, motherfucker!
Yeah, fuck him up.
So that's gonna be 7 damage.
Okay. Yeah, you slash into this guy pretty decently. He yells out, doesn't really... He's bleeding quite a bit.
Okay, amazing. Torque's gonna attack again with his short sword, same guy. 27 to hit.
Yeah, that's a hit.
And max damage, so 11...
You slash into him again. This time, the bleeding doesn't stop. It just continues to pour out.
Love that. Okay, Tortle Claws, bonus action. We're gonna do
All
it.
Right.
Fucking nat 20, bro.
It's fucking
what?
Sick.
What?
Dude, I just rolled at advantage just for the shits. Like, I rolled 2 nat 20s in a row.
What?
Yeah.
That's okay. So that I think that the only time that's happened in this game thus far is when I rolled 2 nat 1s.
Yeah, at the same time.
Or no, it was advantage, and I rolled 2 nat 1s. Okay, all right. So
1 in 400 chance.
Add advantage, 2 nat 20s, baby.
Okay, so roll max plus rolled.
Okay, my rolled will be 7, max 11.
11. So 18?
18. Yeah. Motherfucker.
You slash in across his lower belly, or his growing area, sorry. As he screams out, he's holding one of his intestines in that's like starting to come out.
I knew it. Small or big?
I don't know, whichever one's lower, but he's holding it now. He's not dead, but he's definitely like so close.
I get from my vantage point, it definitely looks like the small.
Okay, yeah, that would be my guess, but
is
great.
Is that going to be your turn then?
Torque's just going to use his full movement to disengage from 3 dudes, so he's going to saunter back 10 feet. Because he's still a little bit shaken from almost dying. Cut him some slack.
Okay, and that's going to be your turn? All right, then it's going to be Spud's turn, and Spud is going to As a bonus action, Spud pulls out his other short sword and shings them together as Jarlin pops into existence directly beside him. And he moves up next to the goblin captain. He looks kind of scared, but he's making eyes with you, Dario, as he runs up and he's like, let's do this. And he's going to attack that lower Formorian at advantage. And 17 is a hit. So he's going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage. 9 damage. So Spud goes up for the advantage as he flanks him. He runs his short sword directly across the Formorian's neck, and it slits his throat. And as he brings his hands up to grab his throat, the intestines just start pooling out of his chest as he drops to his knees.
His intestines are in his chest?
Out of his belly.
Okay.
And drops the ground to his knees and falls over dead.
Formorians could be different. Like, we don't know.
Yeah, they're like, lumpy. We're pretty sure it's the proper anatomy.
Then Spud is going to look to the Formorian captain beside him, and he is going to attack him with his extra attack. And that's going to miss. 15? Does 15 hit?
Yeah, 15 hits.
Yeah, right, 15
hits. I'm not even kidding. I actually remember that.
So the Formorian captain will take 1d6 plus 3 damage, and he'll take 8 damage. And also be slowed 10 feet because he has the slasher feat. So once per turn when dealing slashing damage, you can reduce your target speed by 10 feet until the start of your next turn. So now he's minus 10 feet, and he's going to take that 8 damage.
A little ligament slashing.
That's going to be his turn, and then Jarlin is going to go directly after him. She's going to move to the other side of the Formorian captain, and she is going to try and bite him.
Solid.
At advantage. For 21 to hit, and he's going to take 1d6 plus 3 damage. Well, for 5 damage only as she chomps into him. Better than nothing. That's going to be her turn. Then it's going to be the goblin who's... very badly burnt, so he's gonna move down towards Jarlin. He pulls out his scimitar and he's gonna try to attack Jarlin, and he's gonna hit. So he does 1d6 plus 2 slashing damage to Jarlin for 4 damage, and as he slashes again, he misses on his second, and that goblin's turn is up. Then it's going to be the Formorian warrior's turn, and he's going to run right into Leowind, and he's going to multi-attack Leowind.
Damn.
But wait, did he disengage?
Oh no, he didn't. So Jarlin gets an attack opportunity. So Jarlin attacks and hits, so he's going to take 1d6 plus 3 piercing damage, and that was min damage. So 4 damage to the Formorian warrior.
Scores him in the back.
Yeah, just chomps a big chunk out of his skin.
Gives him a little bit of frost.
So 7 plus 5 is not going to hit for the first one as he swings out, and on his second, 17, which I think is a hit. Yes, that is a hit. So he's going to take 1d12 plus 3 slashing damage. So 7 slashing damage to Leowind as he just gorges across his chest. And Leowind screams out for a sec. That's the Formorian's turn, but then it is Leowind's turn. And he moves up in and around the Formorian on the flanking opposite of Torque, giving him advantage and also sneak attack.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, he's a thieving thief.
So he is going to attack at advantage. And that's a nat fucking 20.
Yeah. Woo.
Nice.
Oh, fuck. So max plus, he's going to die.
With like, sneak attack, too.
Yeah, that's so bitchin'. He gets 24 plus, so 33 max plus 6 for 39 plus... fuck me. 57 damage as he just comes in with his short sword and just completely decapitates this dude. And the Formorian's head rolls down the hill into the water, and his body falls and hits the ground. And that is going to be Leowin's turn.
I think Torque has found a new idol. Torque's very impressed.
Then it's going to be Nevlin Thrasegrate's turn.
I seriously thought everyone was going to be dead by now. Let me look at my spellbook real quick. Nevlin's going to run across the small stream. When he gets to the other side, he is going to keep it simple and use a little firebolt there. Targeted at the fucked up goblin. So Nevlin rolled a nat 1.
Oh.
No.
So go ahead and roll.
It's because you said the thing about everyone not being dead. Yeah. No one knocked on wood.
That's a 6.
Okay. So pick up sticks normally would be the loss of a weapon, but I'm going to say this thing is going to fire at random. So you shoot it, but you lose complete control of this firebolt. So how many we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Perfect. I'm going to roll a D8, and it's going to hit somebody.
Oh, Jesus.
You're getting your wish, Zach.
Cornelius, as you fire this firebolt, it just loses control and shoots off to the right of you, and it smokes Cornelius.
Look out, Corny.
So go ahead and roll damage for that.
But don't.
I duck to grab a coin I see on the ground.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah. What a coincidence.
Oh, shit, I'm 5th level, aren't I?
Oh, no!
Shit happens, you know, when you party naked.
It's only 10 damage.
Oh, right. Not bad. I die. Not. No, I
Is
didn't.
That your turn, then?
Am 2!
Yeah. I blush a little.
Okay.
I use my bonus action to bring color
this
to my
This Fomorian captain, then, he sees Leowyn down one of his soldiers, and he just, like, fucking lets out this battle cry and moves in to attack Leowyn twice with his great club. So,
curious about the battle
that's
cry.
That's a plus 9 to hit, so 19 for the first one. Second one is not so lucky. That's a 6 plus 9 for 15. Oh, that is a hit. Never mind. So 2 hits at 3d8 plus 6 each. So that's 6d8 plus 12.
Yikes.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
It's a major damage.
I'm going to roll that one in the system here. 6d8 plus 12.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh. For 36 damage to Leowind as he just smashes into him with the first hit, and with the second one he comes up and catches him right under the fucking chin, and you just see this blood fly out of Leowind's mouth as he gasps.
No. Is he still standing?
Oh yeah.
That's his first hit, I think.
That's
right?
His first hit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
he's good.
I'm like emotionally invested into Leowind now.
Nobody makes me bleed my own blood. He wipes his mouth. And then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, so then I cast Spiritual Weapon off to the right of the main captain. It would be sort of kitty corner to Leowyn. And then I'm also going to get right next to the Fomorian captain.
Completely surrounded.
Yeah.
Completely surrounded. And then I will cast Toll the Dead on him as well. So he's already been injured. He just has to make a Wisdom saving throw, a DC 13.
Yeah, that's a failure.
Nice. Then I get to do 1d12 damage. I will roll that then and do some necrotic damage. I do 8. The bells toll as necrotic energy kind of washes over him, and then my scythe comes in, making an attack, and it is a 16.
Yes,
is that a hit?
That is a hit.
Nice. He will then do an additional 8 force damage.
Fuck yeah. The dolorous tones just completely destroy his psyche for a moment. It pains him, and he screams out as the scythe just fucking slashes through him. That's gonna be your turn?
That'll be the end of
right,
my turn.
Then it's gonna be top of the round, Cornelius Fluffybum.
Okay, Cornelius is gonna run up to the goblin, and he's gonna do something he's never done before. He's gonna raise his quarterstaff into the sky, high above his head, and bring it down with a crack! And
nice.
It's going to hit 4 with an 8. That does nothing. That's because I've never done this before.
Yeah, you're a druid, very...
Fuck this battle.
Fuck this
very
battle.
Rare. Do you ever had any melee encounters and you try but you miss? Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah. A lot of action for Cornelius tonight.
It's going to be Torque.
Okay. Torque's just going to run up to the goblin up top there. He's just going to gracefully skirt around everyone. And he's going to come up beside the goblin.
Okay.
And he's going to attack him with a short sword.
Okay, roll the hit.
That's a 24.
Yeah, it's totally a hit.
And that'll be 8 damage.
Yeah. Slash him good.
Great. I'm going to slash him again.
Okay. Go and roll a hit.
Damn it, I knew that confidence might not work. Ah, no, 16.
Yep,
fuck yeah.
Nice!
Yeah! 8 again!
Yeah, you come in a second time and slash him of equal detriment.
Oh god, this guy isn't very hurt, is he? Okay, I'm gonna use my chortle claws.
No, he's getting fucked up.
Okay. Bonus action for the claws. Nat 20.
Yeah, max plus roll.
Like the, that's like what the third nat 20 I've rolled in the game.
This is Torque's episode.
And it was with my claws last time, it was. Too. Wow, look at that. Okay, so yeah, cool. Okay, so that's 10 for rolled, and max will be 11, so 21 damage. Fuck that motherfucker. I mean,
you've had enough of this goblin. And you slash into him twice, and the last time you look at him, and that's when you yell out. And
fuck that motherfucker!
And you slash in across his torso with your turtle claws.
Very rude.
And you just, like, completely make your way through his flesh, through his muscle, and completely rip off a giant chunk of flesh between your fingernails. And, and all of his innards just fall to the ground in front of him as he falls back down.
There's a lot of intestines in this episode.
I mean,
dude.
You guys are just doing that. That's not me.
Yeah. Gaslight us. That's great. Wow. Okay. I mean, I love violence and stuff, but when it's under my nails, it's a bit different.
I see this all in my head happening, like it's.
Oh, so do I.
A 3D visual thing.
That's why I like
so
it.
When you're slashing with a sword, you know you're gonna slash across probably the torso or the legs or the arm or something. But like for the most part, like. Your slashes are probably going to go across the chest or the belly, and so. I can pick either one, and it's just way more cool when there's a bunch of intestines all over the place.
Yeah.
I'm not against it.
All right, is that going to be your turn, Torque?
Yep, that's Torque's
all right,
turn.
Then it's going to be Spud's turn. So he just moves down the underside of this Fomorian captain, and he's just going to slash out with his short sword. And the first one's going to be a hit, second one is a miss, and his extra attack is a hit. So he's going to take 2d6 plus 6 damage, and that's going to be 7 plus 6, or 13 damage, as Spud slashes into him twice.
Slashes into his chest and his lung pops out.
No, he just, he hits the armor, and he nicks him underneath the armpit area where the armor's weak. And he does actually draw quite a bit of blood as his armor is starting to kind of like get fucked up from all his hits. Then it's going to be Jarlin's turn. She's going to move over and she's going to look at Spud as she does so. And as he's got the Fomorian captain's attention, she's going to bite at an advantage. She's flanking now with Spud. Whoa, that's horrible. So a nat 1 and a 6. So she tries to bite, but she misses. Then it's going to be Leowyn's turn, and Leowyn, already flanking, looks to Dario, smiles, and pulls back his short sword and begins to stab at advantage. And that's a 19, which will hit. So he's going to take 1d6 plus 3 piercing damage plus his 4d6.
Okay.
Sneak attack, sorry. Oh yeah, listen to that one. It's not great. 16 plus 3 for 19 damage as he stabs him actually under the armor and
his kidney pops out.
No, he just starts. You see this blood flow out through it. And,
his entire skeleton shoots out of his back.
Just like bounces out. And then he's going to attack a second time. And that's going to miss horribly. Advantage. Not 20!
Yeah!
Okay!
There you go. Get him.
Damn.
That's just his 1d6 plus 3. So 9 to start. 4 will be 13 plus 3 for 16 damage again as he stabs in on the other side.
I actually can't believe how many nat 20s there's been. That's pretty
It's pretty crazy, but this doesn't happen often. And that's going to be Leowyn's turn. Then it's going to be Neblin Thricegreat.
So this guy's just getting fucking pummeled. I'm just going to throw a little firebolt into the middle of that fray.
Okay, roll the hit.
Hopefully at him. That's a 21 to hit. So 2d10 damage. 18 damage total.
Yeah, this firebolt smashes into him. It sears his wounds closed, but it also burns him. And now he's just in searing pain as he screams out. Doesn't mean he's not still bleeding.
He's searing.
He's bleeding and he's searing. Now.
Blackened.
It's blackened, yes. It's not burnt, man. Oh, it's caramelized.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, man. That's
all right.
It.
Then it's going to be his turn, and I'm going to roll a d6 to see who he attacks, because now it's just fucking crazy. Completely surrounded. So, 1. He is going to attack Spud twice with his great club. First one is a 4, which is going to be a plus 9 is even a miss, and a 16 plus 9 is going to be a hit. So Spud's going to take 3d8 plus 6.
No, damage. Spud, your mushy little body. What's he going to do? Spud's going to come out of it with like a huge dent.
17
face.
Damage to Spud. Takes him down to 30 HP.
How much HP does Spud have?
Spongy.
Okay. A little bit more than Torque has, yeah.
You're a monk.
The comparison.
He's a ranger.
Yeah.
Level 5 fair. Ranger.
She was a monk.
He's the DM's favorite NPC, so
yeah.
He had way more HP than him.
So yeah,
he fought with swords. She did kung fu.
Quick, write it down.
I'm not editing this out. There's no way.
If he was a mushroom, he'd be a stew.
Oh. Okay, so okay. He thwomps Spud right on the mushroom cap.
Thwomp and thwomp today. I am loving your vocabulary.
And with that, that's going to be his turn. It's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, I disengage. I back up, and then I reach for the amulet of Mercule, and I point at that guy, and I'm like, if you're being burned and losing intestines is not good enough for you, how about weak atrophied muscles? And I shoot a ray of enfeeblement at him.
Okay,
nice.
All I have to do is make a ranged spell attack, and if it hits, the target deals only half damage with weapon attacks that use strength until the spell ends.
Okay.
So it's a concentration of up to a minute, but here we go. 17 plus...
That's a hit.
Six. Oh, yeah, okay. So there we go. He's only doing half damage. A black beam of enervating energy springs forth from your finger.
Well, that is going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay,
oh,
so...
unless you weren't done.
Oh, no, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah, I enfeeble him.
He is enfeebled.
He lets out a sigh of enfeeblement.
Yeah, what's that sound like?
I don't like it. It's not my
I don't
favorite.
Like it, but it is how I imagined it.
That's already my new ringtone. he's wearing, what is he wearing again for armor?
What are you wearing?
He's wearing studded leather.
You wanted to heat metal.
I wanted to heat metal.
I mean, it's studded, so you can heat
metal. So I hit him with my quarter staff. Okay. All the same.
Do it.
Second time's a charm.
Oh, this is much better now. That's going to be 16 to hit.
Nice. Yeah, that's a hit.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why you're not casting spells at this motherfucker.
Because why cast a spell when you can do 2 points of damage?
All right, yeah, you thwap him.
Thwap. Yeah.
It's more of a thwip, but I'll take thwap.
Yeah, you thwap him with your quarter staff, and you're very impressed with yourself. Spud,
I am.
Spud actually looks over at you, and he's like, nice.
I look back at him, and I'm like, right?
That
felt good. Just dunk right on the head. And then I disengage because I just feel very weak after that. So I'm going to disengage. And that's my turn.
That's Torque's turn. Did you go yet?
Yeah. No.
Yeah, it's your turn.
Yeah, it is. okay. Well, seeing as there's not a whole lot much else to do than to move south towards the last Fomorian captain. So that's what Torque is going to do. He's going to shuffle because he's very confident because all of his friends are surrounding this guy. And he's going to take a swing with his short sword.
Okay.
And that's going to be a 25 to hit.
Yeah, that's totally a hit.
That's going to be 10 damage?
10 damage.
Yeah,
yeah. You slash into him with all your might, and he wipes the blood from his face, but your team is on, but he's not looking good. You see his skin is starting to pale.
This guy is fucking
okay.
Tough.
Well, I'm going to make him even more pale. I'm going to impale this motherfucker. Okay, I'm rolling for an extra attack.
Yeah.
25 again.
Go for it.
7 damage.
Yeah, you stab into him, and as you pull the blade out, a plethora of blood comes with it.
Nice. Okay, we're gonna switch over to Torquaz. Yep. Wouldn't it be nuts if I rolled a nat 20?
No, it won't, because he said that.
Yeah, I rolled a 2. So it's a 10.
That's half of a 20.
It's not a hit.
And he's just going to stay where he is, so that's his turn.
Well, he knows whose turns it is now. It's Spud's turn.
Yeah!
Finish it off, Spud.
Finish him off.
Yeah, Spud's going to come in with his short sword. He's going to attack twice. First one's a miss, second one's a miss, and the third one will be his extra attack. But no, also a miss. All three, miss, miss, miss.
Oh!
Yeah, that's crazy. I was like 2 threes and a 4.
Oh, were they advantage?
Oh, fuck. God damn it. Hit. Hit. Nat 20.
Finally, haven't had one of those.
So Spud comes in with his sword, and he just stabs directly up into the Flamorian's chin, and his sword goes right through his head, and he slices it out sideways, and it just goes through the side of his head, and you just see this blood come out as this dumb look comes across his face. He remains standing for an awkward amount of time until he falls to the ground.
7 minutes.
Or like 3 seconds.
Did he kill him?
He's dead.
Is that that's like the
what
second
What the fuck do you
Flamorian
mean is he fucking dead?
I know. I don't know why I needed to know, but he just swoops in and gets the kill.
Yeah, you know, it just works out like that sometimes. So you guys have cleared that battle.
Torque picks up Leowin's crossbow and like wipes some intestines and blood off of it. And he goes up to him and he's like, Mr. Leowin, sir, I think you this might be yours.
Thank you, Torque.
you're welcome. And he runs away.
He puts it back on his belt. And, he starts.
Don't mind him there, Leowin. It was very impressive, that decapitation that you did. Torque just lit right up. But on the other side of things here, are you okay? Do you need any healing?
No, I should be fine.
Good. I didn't really want to waste it. You seem like a capable person.
Yes, very much so.
Such an honest dick.
Tell us how you really feel.
Yeah. I suggest we get moving, though.
We're just going to need a few minutes to rifle through these dead bodies.
Yeah, we just need to get through the dead bodies,
It's sort of a thing we do.
Yeah, it's a...
Make sure that we search them every
time.
The
will of Darcy compels us.
Yeah, leave nothing behind. Waste not.
And now we've created... Darcy is now a god in this campaign.
Apparently.
He's the god of loot fortune.
Yeah.
It's what you call Darcy's luck. When you kill a man, sometimes you find something good in his pockets.
All right.
He doesn't need it.
not anymore.
Give me a sec here. You guys go rifle through the bodies. Roll me investigation checks.
I rolled a 19. That's as good as that kid.
17 for Torque.
9 for Cornelius.
Everybody 16. Except Cornelius, you just can't find. Bam, we ain't found shit.
That's how I'm feeling right now.
Everybody else.
You're just caught up in all the intestines or something.
Yeah, there's nothing. I lost my watch, guys.
You guys find both of the Formorians had 15 gold pieces on them each. The captain had 30. The goblins have nothing on them aside from their javelins and their scimitars. And the Formorian captain had a great club, and the two Formorians had great axes. That is all you find.
I think I'll grab a javelin.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was thinking about grabbing some javelins, too. Need some more javelins.
There are 4 javelins
life.
That are usable.
I'll take 1.
I'll take 3. All right, I wrote it down. 15, 15, and 30. We got 60 gold pieces. That means we get
a lot of
15
churros.
Gold pieces each.
Thank you.
Leowin looks at you guys and he's like, are you ready to get going?
Yes, by the fortune of Darcy, we are now prepared.
Okay.
Yeah, I would suggest that we get going, you guys. There's a lot of things to do.
So you guys start making your way up the hill and continuing across the path and heading north. And
noting the seriousness of the goblins and Flamorians traveling together, Leowin shakes his head and motions to continue on, moving forward into the darkness. You travel for what seems like hours, but after one last long haul of the difficult terrain of the Rocky Reaper's Pass, you clear the fog and come to a large river lit with the brilliance of surrounding fungi. Just near the river, the mouth of a small cave can be seen, and Leowin motions you to the cave.
This looks like an ideal spot to make camp for a time. I will send my entourage to scout and keep watch.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Cool.
Well, at this point, you guys have been traveling for probably like 10 hours.
Yeah, it's been a long walk.
So you guys kind of step into the cave, and it's big enough for you all to like sleep and build a fire in the cave. So you guys get a fire going, and some of you guys go off to bed. Some of you guys sit by the fire.
Smoke our cool pipes.
Yeah, actually, Nevelyn wants to do something, yep. Which is he would like to try to copy the scroll of silvery barbs into his okay. spellbook. So I'll figure out how that works and get back to you, but that's basic. That's what he's doing.
Okay. Tonight. Anybody else?
I'll stay up, watch the fire, and maybe nod off a little bit, or I'll look at my scripture. Yeah, of Mercule. I'll pull out for my religious vestments and things okay. like that.
Everybody else just goes to bed.
Torque's gonna have a shadowy meditation and maybe dabble a little bit in some watercolor paint,
okay.
and then he will fall soundly.
All right. So Nevelyn, any word on that?
It'll be 50 gold, 2 hours, DC 10 plus the spell level. It's a level 1 spell, so it'll be a DC 11 okay. check.
So you want to roll that up?
Yeah, 13 plus like 9 or something. Yeah.
So you successfully transcribe this scroll into your spell book, and you now know how to cast silvery barbs.
Excellent. That is, I now have a fucking spell I can use a reaction
cool.
to cast.
Cool. Always fun. All right. All that's left is Dario sitting at the fire as he read through some papers, and
you watch the flames flicker on the cave walls as you settle into the fabric of your being. You slowly ease into a quiet state of meditation, and just as you reach the point of relaxation, a mist clouds the underside of your eyelids as you seem to fall backwards into the void. You feel as though you're falling, but you are somehow able to remain in your meditative state as calmness surrounds you, and you open your eyes. You stand before a blazing fire pit in an endless void. Sitting at the fire is a man in dark robes as black as death itself. As he looks back to you, you see the rough and pale skin lit by soft flames, and with the flickering of the light, you see the bones of his skull flash before your eyes, revealing his true form. As the god of death, Mercule, he gestures to the stump next to him and says,
"Do not be alarmed, my son. Please, come and sit next to me. I want to tell you about the night I met your mother."
That's where we're ending the session.
What?
Oh no.
Motherfucker!
Wait, you're a motherfucker, aren't you?